The text for today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 9. Listen for God's word. About noon the next day, as they, that is the people from Cornelius, were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry, wanted something to eat. While it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures with reptiles and birds of the air. He heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, let no one call profane." Then continuing at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Peter was at the beach. At least he was staying in a beach house or in a house near the beach on the Mediterranean. Now I know that some of us were at the beach not too long ago. And I'm sure, I expect, that at least a few of us wish we were still there and that the final days of summer were lasting a little longer. I'm glad to see at least a couple of smiles. Thank you. Yes, it's true. I guarantee you that if you pay attention to the work of the Holy Spirit, you will find even amazing things, maybe even more than at the beach this year in seminary. Thank you. Thank you so much. I can use all the help I can get, especially when it is about calling the Holy Spirit to join us and calling for us to be attentive. Thank you. Peter was in Joppa, in the house near the beach owned by a man named Simon. It was noon one day. Peter went up on the roof to pray. Now, he's about to have a vision, and since it's lunchtime and he's hungry, of course, no surprise, he's going to dream about food. But before we get to that, I want us to pause for a moment and think about what it means for us that Peter paused to pray at midday. There are a number of patterns of prayer in the Bible, but the most pervasive is this one of praying at set times each day. Psalm 55, you may recall, calls us to pray at evening. The ancient understanding was that the day began at sundown, evening, morning, and midday, or if we translate that into our way of thinking, we would say pray at morning, noon, and night. We in this seminary follow something of the same pattern. We pause at midday, Monday through Thursday, to pray. In this account of Peter in Acts 10, he paused at noon to pray. Now the prayers prayed at those set times were set prayers. I'm sure that people also prayed about whatever was on their heart at the moment, but they also prayed in a regular rhythm, setting out the reminders about God's good creation, God's protection, the reminder that in life and in death, we belong to God. The prayers prayed at that time, and in monasteries all the years since, up until today, are based mainly on the Psalms. Imagine what it would be like to have your day ordered by the Psalms. Thank you. Most of us have our days ordered by calendars. I do. What would it be like to have our days ordered by the Psalms? So a word of encouragement as we begin this new year. Set times to pray, including this midday chapel time. So Peter was up on the roof praying. It was noon. Lunchtime, and he was a little hungry. While others were preparing lunch downstairs, he fell asleep or fell into a trance, had a dream. As you might expect, he dreamed about food. He saw a great sheet being lowered down, holding all kinds of animals, reptiles, lizards and snakes and so on, and birds. And he heard a voice saying, "Here's lunch. Help yourself." Peter said, "Oh, no, 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 Lord. I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." It happened three times, in case Peter or we might be a little confused and hard of understanding. And Peter woke up, and he was confused. And his confusion is understandable. He was a Jew. The dietary laws were central in his Jewish identity, and the animals that had appeared in the dream were simply not acceptable. We need to remember that everyone who believed in Jesus at that time was a Jew. There was no question in their minds that everyone in the new Jesus movement must remain loyal to the traditions, principles, distinctive practices of God's covenant people. So this vision of strange animals and the suggestion they be part of a lunch menu was very disturbing to Peter, challenging him to do some radical rethinking. Not unlike the rethinking some of us are called to do when facing the challenge of recognizing that those who believe differently than we do or worship in a different style, that they too are God's people. Thank you. We're getting a few more, a little more support. I mean, if we could join in, be okay, okay? Thank you. Now, the previous afternoon in Caesarea, at 3 in the afternoon, another set hour of prayer, a Roman military officer named Cornelius also had a vision. He was told to send men to find Peter in Joppa. He did so, and then Peter, accompanied by 6 believers, went back to Caesarea, where they found a large gathering of people waiting to hear what Peter would say. Peter began, and I find this embarrassing because it seems so very rude. Peter began by saying, "You know, I shouldn't really be here with you people." Check it. This is what he said. "It's unlawful for me, a Jew, to associate with you Gentiles." But then he said, "But I'm beginning to learn." That might have been a different title for this talk today, this little sermon. Are we beginning to learn? First day of the year, right? So not a bad theme. "But I'm beginning to learn," Peter said, "that I should not call anyone profane or unclean." And then he told the gospel story. If you're ever unclear about the gospel story, read this little sermon by Peter in chapter 10. It's a lovely, it's very short too, telling of the gospel. And he begins with a declaration of his own conversion. He says, "I now realize how true it is that God has no favorites, that in every nation, anyone who fears God, does what is right, is acceptable to God." Then he went on to describe the ministry of Jesus, how God preached peace through Jesus, explained his ministry of healing and acceptance. And then, this is my favorite part, and then I'm sure if Luke's readers were paying attention, or if we're paying attention, we're going to be shocked at what happens next. Then comes the affirmation that all of this is, in fact, God's work, and that there is no difference between this or that so-called race, or this or that culture, or even this or that individual. Because even before Peter is finished with his short sermon, Cornelius and all the people assembled, that is, all the non-Jews, began to speak in tongues. Shocking. So Luke says they were amazed, the people who came with Peter, they were amazed, they were astonished. They were using languages they had never learned. And so giving evidence that they had received the gift of God's Holy Spirit, and the Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astounded, they were shocked. For these Gentiles, these people, those people, had received the Holy Spirit just as they had. Listen again to verses 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the word. I love this part. It's disturbing to many of us because it's not on those who said a formula prayer or those who believed a particular way or belonged to a particular tradition, but on all who heard. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Now here, continuing my sidebar on prayer, we have another very different pattern of prayer, praying in tongues. Not praying at a set time or using set prayers or praying the Psalms or using a prayer book, but praying in the Spirit, using a language never learned. And this gift, this particular pattern of prayer, is so important that it is used as evidence that these people are really God's people. Peter and Peter's people were amazed, shocked, astounded. As we begin this academic year, are we ready to be amazed by the movement of God's Spirit? Thank you. Thank you. That's some affirmation on this side. Yep, there's one over. Thank you. Thank you. Are we ready to be surprised by and rejoice in the unexpected inclusion and acceptance made evident by the work of the Spirit among us? As we prepare for the year, I encourage us to be open to the unexpected wind of the Spirit. In a moment, we will continue our preparation for the year by reaffirming our baptism. I'm tempted to say, to make that sentence sound grammatically correct, our baptisms. But there's only one baptism. Even though we have experienced baptism in very different ways here in this sanctuary, some as adults, some by immersion, some as adolescents, some as infants, some at the font, there is one baptism. I encourage you, as you prepare for the year, as you are setting patterns for the year, remember your baptism, and I encourage you to pray. I love the fact that there are two patterns of prayer in this passage, quite different from each other, and both are pretty strange, for at least for the Presbyterians among us. Praying at set times, praying set prayers. And then at the end of the story, we find a very different pattern of prayer, praying in tongues, not following the prayers written by the psalmist or someone else, but in words not understood, given by the Spirit at the moment, in a language never learned. So which way should we pray? Well, likely both. I only heard one amen. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. Yeah, this is getting a little dicey now for some of us because this is not our tradition, not our pattern. And here we have it in one chapter. Likely both, though again, I'll say for the Presbyterians among us, makes us a little uncomfortable. I encourage you, as you prepare for the year to pray, try following the example of Peter and Jesus and set a time, or two or three, for prayer every day. Use the prayer book that Jesus used, the Psalms. Try a few other prayer books. Listen to your heart. And listen for the Holy Spirit, whether using your own words or words first prayed by others, or no words at all. Listen with your heart as well as your mind. Listen for the Spirit, praying always to be open, ready to be amazed at the work of God's Spirit. And pray for the courage and faith to follow where the Spirit leads. Thanks be to God, Creator, Redeemer.